today on Real Radio.
I can never meet the standard. I'm a Christian, but I'm so defeated all the time. You've been listening to Satan's emissaries. That's demonic activity clouding your mind. That's why you grab the Word of God and bring every thought under the captivity of Christ, says the Bible. That's why you grab the Bible and you use the Word of God against the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called With God's Defense, Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. The prophet Isaiah prophesied during one of the most turbulent periods in Judah's history. Isaiah was constantly given messages from God about the moral breakdown of the times. As a matter of fact, his prophecies were so prolific that he was often quoted in the New Testament, even talking about visions of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and about his return when he sets up his millennial kingdom here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 35, we saw the Battle of Armageddon come to an end and the beginning of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Our future in God's kingdom will be filled with joy. We won't experience death, but we'll have bodies that are eternal and without the effects of sin. God will create a new paradise here on earth during his thousand-year reign. But until then, we can experience kingdom living when we accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. Now in Isaiah chapters 36 through 39, Isaiah pauses to deal with events that are currently happening in Judah. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that Assyria, Judah's greatest enemy, represents the flesh, or Satan, and is ruled by Sennacherib, a title that means the Great One. Sennacherib considers himself to be a god and is greatly feared by Judah. The Assyrian field commander even mocks the people with a bribe. And now in his lesson called With God's Defense, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Isaiah chapter 36, if you would turn there, if you would. And we're looking at a portion now, this segment, which links the previous teachings of the prophet Isaiah from chapter 1 all the way out to chapter 35. And I love chapter 35 regarding the millennium and Christ's return. And then chapters 36 to 39, Isaiah, mark it in your notes because you're going to think, well, this is driving me nuts. This is weird. What is he talking about? Isaiah pauses and he deals with the immediate now in those four chapters. But pay close attention, Bible student, tonight. There's going to be tremendous amounts of things that will jump out at you, I trust, that are Old Testament experiences, but New Testament realities. In other words, you'll see things tonight, and I'm going to ask you to put your devotional thinking cap on, as it were. As we go through this, we're going to be learning about Sennacherib. You'll find out who he is. And Rabshakeh. Who would name their kid Rabshakeh? Nobody. It's not his name. It's a title of who he is. What parallels are these people in our study regarding our lives today? Hezekiah, great king. His prayer. How does that change the outcome of his life? Was his prayer the right prayer to pray? What was God doing in answering his prayer? And then there's the prophet Isaiah himself and what he's doing. So this is a study that is necessary, but here we go. I tell you, when we end chapter 39 and we break into chapter 40 all the way to chapter 66, man, I got to tell you, that's for me, that's when the book of Isaiah starts. Wow, is it going to get beautiful? So if you would then look with your scriptures or look at your scriptures with me, we're looking there, chapter 36. It says here, now in verse 1, it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, that Sennacherib, King Hezekiah, that's his name, but Sennacherib, he being the king of Assyria, Sennacherib is not his name. Sennacherib actually gave himself this title. It means that he's the great one or that he's the great Lord. He's pushing his name or this title, I should say, to label himself. Listen to this carefully, see if it rings a bell of memory. He promotes himself as godlike. Does that ring a bell? Somebody who says, I'm godlike, in our story and in our lesson as it unfolds. He's the king of Assyria, Israel's arch enemy. In fact, at this time, Assyria has the greatest army on the face of the earth. They came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Stop right there. Sennacherib has been attacking, having left Assyria, the area today, much of Iraq. His base is Nineveh. Today, you know Nineveh in the modern day news as Mosul. And he has made his way westward and south. And up to this point, verses 1 and 2, he has defeated 46 cities in the area of northern Israel. So he's on a roll, and he's feared terribly. The Assyrians were some of the most brutal people on the face of the earth. And so when you watch the news today, when you watch ISIS and Taliban activity and Boko Haram and these people, you hear and you read about the evils that they're doing to people, and you're wondering, how can a human being do that to another person? How can, for example, how can ISIS, how can 19, 25, 30-year-old men, ISIS members, crucify 2-year-old children? How do they do that? How is that done? How do they burn people alive? How is it that they put, because they've studied the Assyrian Empire, and you'll hear about it tonight, how is it that they'll put fish hooks in people's noses and pull them around the city naked in areas of Syria and Iraq? How do they do that? How does a human do that to somebody? Exactly. It's demonic activity. Look, I don't want to freak you out, but I believe now in what's going on in the world, there's more demonic activity happening now in the world than at any other time in recent time anyway. That explains a lot if you think about it. No, it's a mental illness. No, I tell you what, I think it's demonic activity. Because the psychological world doesn't know what to do with it. They don't recognize it. But Sennacherib is full of himself, and he's coming against Judah, the southern kingdom, and King Hezekiah, one of Israel's great five kings throughout its history. Good guy. Revival happened underneath his kingship. But now the fear comes. This one who is the great one, who is like God, is going to come. And people are intimidated. Verse 2, then the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh. The word Rabshakeh, in fact, look at your Bibles very closely. Some of your Bibles have in italicized letters, because it's not in the original Hebrew, the. Do you see that? Anybody have that? The Rabshakeh, good. That is an excellent study Bible you have, because it is a title. Rabshakeh is not his name. It means field commander or field general. Listen, this guy reports to the king of everything. Sennacherib, I rule the world. And this high-ranking field general reports to him. And I want you to be thinking about how the demonic world operates, and who the Lord of the demonic world is. And underneath him, there are fallen angels. And underneath him, there are demons. And there's a difference. Don't let anybody tell you differently. There's a difference between fallen angels and demons. But they answer to Lucifer, do they not? So all of these minions of warriors answer to this Rabshakeh. And then he turns and he answers to King Sennacherib. And with a great army from Lachish, the king to the king Hezekiah at Jerusalem, and he stood by the aqueduct. Listen to this, people. You've been there. Some of you have walked it. The aqueduct is the underwater or the tunnel that the Jews would carry water up to the temple from the pool of Siloam. Have you, any of you been with us when we've walked that 1,700-foot underground tunnel? It's been there for thousands of years, and that passageway is literally where, for example, this is the big highlight for me. It's not only referenced here in Isaiah 36, but it's where actually David and his troops took the Jebusite city up on top of the mount at that particular time. David went through that tunnel, and it is awesome. I tell you, most of the way, if I remember right, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but most of the way you can stand pretty much upright. I mean, I'm 5'10". Now, if you're, a couple times I had to duck my head, but it's good size. And it was built thousands of years ago. And this aqueduct is recorded, and you've been in it, and it's right here in your Bible. Right there. And so, watch what happens. by the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the Fuller's Field, Hezekiah's tunnel. And Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household of Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to him. So this guy has come representing King Sennacherib, and several leaders representing King Hezekiah have come to meet up. Now, amazing. As Israel, or Judah, looks over the wall, they see Sennacherib's armies surrounding Jerusalem. And what's fun about what I'm telling you about, you can Google later, don't do it now, but you can Google later the British Museum, for example, of history, and you'll see secular accounts of Sennacherib's almost invasion. He doesn't succeed. He gets there, and that is recorded in secular history. So it's not just your Bible. It's the real deal when you say, I mean, I say the Bible is the real deal because it's proven and true, but you say, I don't believe or agree with the Bible. That's okay. Go to the British Museum. And it's recorded there in Assyrian history, in their language. And so this is an actual reality. Look at verse 4. Then the Rabshakeh said to them, so he's going to speak, watch this. Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this which you trust? You ought to circle the word trust. Yeah, I think you're going to hear it about 7 times from him. So what is this? What's your confidence that you're trusting in? Church, listen. He comes and they're going to come to invade. They represent the flesh. They want to destroy God's people. He's speaking loudly. The Rabshakeh, the field commander, is saying, what is your confidence? Now watch what he says. Because boy, I tell you, we can relate to this. Verse 5, I say to you, or I speak of having counsel and strength for war. But they are vain words. Now in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? In other words, you have no hope, people of God. You're going to be surrounded. You're going to be destroyed. And what is your hope? Watch what he says. Verse 6, look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt. And that's true. Hezekiah made a deal with Egypt. If we ever get in trouble, will you take care of us? And that was a bad move. So watch what's happening. The enemy of God's people is ridiculing, mocking, and accusing God's people. Does that ring a bell to you? The Bible says that Satan against you. If you're a Christian tonight, the Bible says Satan accuses God's children, God's brethren, day and night before the throne. Did you know that? First of all, it's wild that Satan's got access to God's throne room, but God allows it. And what does he do when he shows up? He rats on me. He rats on you. Now, here's the amazing thing. Rabshakeh is telling the truth. He's actually saying the truth. Didn't Satan speak some of the truth to Jesus when he is being tempted in the wilderness? Listen carefully. Satan's not going to show up in your life all dressed up like a hooker or all dressed up like somebody with red underwear, a pitchfork, and a tail and horns. Not so obvious. Not so obvious. He's not going to show up throwing money at you or throwing cocaine and booze and everything at you. Not so obvious. You're smarter than that. He always attacks us in such a way that you don't even realize you're under attack until you're 2 or 3 or 4 days into it, and then you wake up to it. He's very subtle. He's cunning. Isn't it interesting that in Genesis, his manifestation, he commandeers the body of a snake? How quiet and cynical and slithery can that be? That's how he moves. He's moving like that in your life. A little crack in the door, a little open window, spiritually speaking, and he'll make his way in. It may be some old thing. I just heard about a relationship that's now coming apart, a marriage that's dissolving because some knucklehead in the marriage, the guy, decided to get Facebook. And he found out how you look up his old high school sweethearts. But doesn't the Bible say, how can a man take fire into his bosom and hold it and not get burned? And so, you know what? That little click, look, if you can't handle Facebook, then throw it away. I know that sounds like I'm speaking heresy to young people today, but, or whatever it might be. Parents, listen, your kids, there'll be a mutiny after I tell you this one here. If your kids have Snapchat, you're in trouble. If your kids have Snapchat, you're in trouble. Because man, I tell you, it is the perfect way to sneak past the parents to look at pornography and all that kind of stuff, or have stuff sent to you, and your mom and dad, you're never gonna know it. Because if I understand how the program works, there's the picture that appears on your kid's screen for how long is it? 15, 20, whatever you send is so many seconds or minutes?
3 to 10 seconds.
Say it again.
3 to 10 seconds.
3 to 10 seconds, it appears, and then it's gone. Look, it could be a cupcake, or it could be, okay? And your kid's getting that. And I love what our brother said regarding the accuracy of that. Satan, that's all he needs. Think about it. That's all he needs is to drop. Why do you think commercials are so effective? Boom! Why do you think we live in a generation of 15-second sound bites or video clips? Boom! Hook, right? Just get it in the head. Just get it in the eye. Look, I don't know how women are. I've never been a woman. Don't ever plan on becoming a woman. But as a guy, guys, help me out here. Guys, all we need, men are predominantly visually stimulated. All we need is a, watch, it's this. That's it. One picture. By the time the Calvin Klein commercial comes on, you turn your head away, it's too late. Boom! And Satan knows it. We're built that way. But we live in a fallen world. Job is the one who said, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look at a young girl. Oh, come on, Pastor, dude. What's the thing? It's okay to look, but don't touch? What bozo said that? Satan. Satan said that. He's always accusing. So Rabshakeh here, the field commander for the invading general, who thinks he's a god, knows exactly what he's doing. Now, in those days, they didn't have pictures. So what do? They dropped words. Have you ever heard a word that either encouraged you, or how about a word that was spoken to you or sent to you, or you got it in a letter or you got a little note and it just ripped your heart out of you? It just affected you. Maybe even depressed you because it was so mean. We are spiritual creatures, created by God that way. But we've got to govern ourselves, people. We've got to exercise the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so he says, you've leaned on that broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. In other words, it's so flimsy, it's like a little piece of metal. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust him. And again, he's attacking verbally the people of God, but it's true what he's saying, because that's what the enemy does. Verse 8, now therefore I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses. Are you guys tracking this? Just obey the Assyrian Empire. Just obey the world. Just obey the flesh. Hey, just for starters, we'll give a down payment. We'll give you 2,000 horses. You know how a drug addict gets people hooked?
Free samples.
Free samples. He's not a drug addict. He's a DEA agent, and he's profiling all of you guys. You get people, hey, you give them free drugs, and then you get them hooked, and then they won't let you go. We'll give you 2,000 ponies if you just bow down. Make this pledge to us. He says, if you are able on your part to put riders on them, he's mocking their weakness, he's mocking their inability, makes light of it. Verse 9, how then will you repel one captain of the least of my master's servants. We're more powerful than you. It's obvious, he's saying to them. And put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Have I now come up without the Lord? Listen to this, everybody. This is the enemy of God's people. Look what he says in verse 10. Have I not come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord, look, he's using the name of the Lord, Yahweh, said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Do you hear that? Wow. But isn't this familiar to those of us who are Christians? The enemy comes up and says, the Lord told me to tell you. Wow. He is saying to God's people, God told me to tell you, he sent me to destroy you. Listen, God will never destroy his people. He will chastise his people. Do you know what that means? He'll spank them. God will chastise. He will discipline them. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, this is 100% truth. Take a deep breath and enjoy it. Are you a Christian tonight? Are you part of the body of Christ? God will never destroy you. He'll discipline you because he loves you and you belong to him and you're his. And the nation or the believing remnant of Israel, God will never destroy them. He'll chastise them. He'll chasten them. But listen, he's committed himself to two groups of people, the remnant of Israel and you. So listen, if you're a Christian tonight, and you're thinking, oh, I don't know what's going on in my life. Everything seems to be coming apart. I think God is against me. I think God's punished me. I think God is going to destroy me. Listen, that's Rabshakeh speaking. That's Rabshakeh speaking. You got that? Oh, but I never feel worthy. That's Rabshakeh speaking. I can never meet the standard. I'm a Christian, but I'm so defeated all the time. You've been listening to Rabshakeh, the field commander of Sennacherib. You've been listening to Satan's emissaries. That's demonic activity clouding your mind. That's why you grab the word of God and bring every thought under the captivity of Christ, says the Bible. That's why you grab the Bible and you use the word of God against the fiery darts of the wicked one who shoots. He just shoots. And I believe strongly that you being a believer, your mind is not an open field for the enemy to play in. I don't believe Satan can read your mind. I think you, Christian, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit and God doesn't share you with anything or anybody.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called With God's Defense, Part 1. Thanks for spending time with us today, and don't allow Satan to keep you in fear. There is victory in Jesus Christ over any situation you may find yourself. With God's Defense, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, the book of Isaiah can be a hard one to follow, especially if you've missed any of the episodes here on Real Radio. So if you're wondering how to catch up, we've got good news for you. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the tab that says Listen. Once there, you can start listening to the most recent episodes, or you can go all the way back to the beginning of our series on Isaiah, with titles such as Government God's Way, or When God Restores, and Being Right with God. You can catch an episode you might have missed, or you can simply review as you go along. So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Listen tab. The Isaiah Sermon series is there for you. It's all in order from the most recent episode. You may have to wait for the latest one to upload, but keep on checking. It's well worth the wait. You'll find that all right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.